Buffett, A Good Life All the Way. It's written by Ryan White, who's also the author of Springsteen Album by Album. He's researched with interviews from friends, musicians, Coral Reef band members, as well as the business partners. There's kind of two lives to Jimmy Buffett, it seems. But Ryan, why did you choose Jimmy Buffett as a topic? What was his connection? I mean, anybody who writes has to have a passion for their subject. What was the reason behind that?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of starts back. I grew up in Michigan. I went to college in Michigan, and me and a friend took me down to see Jimmy at Buckeye Lake outside Columbus one year in college, and that was kind of my first mind-bending experience with the size of that thing. Before that, as a kid, you know, the only place we ever traveled was down I-75 to Tampa to see my uncle, and so I've kind of always had a fondness for Florida, even when people demean it, sometimes deservedly. But so there was a sense of adventure in the music that I liked a lot more than the party. There was a sense of elsewhere. And as I got into my 20s and started my career and was traveling on my own, I kind of drifted away from it for a while. And then, you know, one day you've got a mortgage and you've got a kid and you've got real life responsibilities, and it's a nice backyard song and backyard music. And in 2013, I had this fantastic newspaper job for 16 years, and it did what newspaper jobs do. It disappeared. And I had to figure out what I was going to do next. And I looked around and I realized, you know, kind of how big Margaritaville had gotten. And I started to think about the path that it had traveled from being this song marking the tail end of Key West's really wild and crazy period, the Key West that Buffett had found in 1971 when he got there with Jerry Jeff Walker, to this, you know, very huge middle-class suburban brand that it's become. And I was interested really in how it got there. What does that brand mean? How did it traverse the culture as successfully as it has for 40 years, which is a hard thing for anything to do, and especially a pop song. I mean, there's never been a pop song like it. And I also just thought that it would be a lot of fun to work on this story. And it was a lot of fun to work on this story. And, you know, in the process, not that any of this is in the book, I figured out a few things about, kind of change and adapting to time that helped me out.
Changes in attitude, changes in latitude, right?
Yeah.
As it were.
Yeah.
His songs speak a lot. It's interesting because as a hit maker, you kind of have sort of a period in time where Jimmy Buffett was on the charts, and then from that point on, it became sort of the parrot heads and the concert tours. But it has to be about the person, though. It seems to be about him. If the different person was singing those songs, I don't know if they would last this long.
Yeah, I mean, people have the one constant is people have always liked Jimmy Buffett. They've liked they've enjoyed the songs, they've liked the shows, but people seem to genuinely. And this includes people who work with him and have worked with him. They seem to genuinely like Jimmy Buffett. And it was, you know, when he got to Nashville in 1969 and 1970, he was making pretty good folk songs, but he wasn't country enough for Nashville. He ended up in Key West, and now he's making these kind of weird sort of outcast songs with screwball characters full of, you know, heat and humidity and also a lot of distance, because for all those early records looked like Key West records, there was a lot in the West. There were songs out in Montana. There were songs down in Texas, because he was really making a living in part of the growing Austin scene in the mid 70s that Willie and Jerry Jeff helped build down there. I mean, he was playing the same places that Lightnin' Hopkins was playing down in Texas and stuff. But the one constant, even when they wouldn't play him on the radio, people liked him. Don Light, his first manager, used to tell people that, you know, like, you know, he would take Jimmy's songs around Music Row in Nashville, and they say, "Hey, I like him, but I can't get him on the radio. I like him, but I can't get him on the radio." So the door kept closing, but it never closed for good, because people liked him. And then, you know, somehow in 1977, radio decided, "All right, we're on board with Margaritaville," and that was really all he ever needed. You know, Come Monday was a hit number 30 in 1974. He had a couple of other top 40 hits. Margaritaville is the only top 10 hit. It was the 14th biggest hit of by any reliable measure of pop stardom that we've had. Jimmy Buffett shouldn't be playing stadiums and arenas and amphitheaters still. He should be, you know, going on at noon at a state fair. But just Mac McAnally, who stands on stage with Jimmy every night, refers to what they do as this rolling ball of goodwill from town to town, and people love it. And he's given people a reason to smile, which is these days especially, it seems, a pretty good thing to do.
Right. And over the last 15 years, I had to look back because that Alan Jackson song, 5 o'clock somewhere came out.
Yeah.
It's almost been like 15 years. It seems like it was shorter than that. But there's a whole generation, and you get to that point where there's a generation of people that were inspired by your music, and now they're doing it professionally, and they invite you a part of their party, too.
Yeah. I mean, he really, he never had a genre until one day he was a genre. He never fit in Nashville until one day Kenny Chesney and Zach Brown and Toby Keith and Alan Jackson were singing songs about or like Jimmy Buffett. It was really an amazing thing. Mac McAnally and Michael Utley kind of just laugh about it. It's like they suddenly looked up one day and it was like, wait, we're the genre. How did that happen? And it's not all that different from, the day in Cincinnati in 1985 where they're riding in a limo into the amphitheater at Kings Island or outside Cincinnati, and they look around and go, all of these people are in costume, which was when Timothy Schmidt, the bass player from the Eagles, who was in the Coral Reefer Band at the time, coined the parrothead phrase. It was, these things have just kind of, they've happened organically, and Jimmy's been smart enough to figure out how to take advantage of it and enjoy it.
Well, let's talk, when I see the name Buffett in CEO, I think of like Warren Buffett or something. But
right.
Now you got Jimmy Buffett in this margarita brand. Some people would say, they're selling out, but people seem to embrace this side of him as well.
Yeah, I mean, and it's really interesting. John Colin, who's the CEO of Margaritaville, he and I talked a lot about this because, he grew up in New Jersey, and one of the things I said was, if Bruce Springsteen decided to open a Thunder Road Bar and Grill, his fans would lose their minds. But people like Jimmy. People like Jimmy, and it's a chance to have fun. And, Jimmy kind of sets the tone by not taking all of it over. I encountered people who aren't happy with the level of merchandising, but most people just don't care. It's, it's a chance to stop by a Margaritaville if they're in a town where there is one. There's one coming to Cleveland soon. He's just been able to get away with it on the sheer, power of his personality. And as John Colin said in what was really a nice bit of executive of CEO shade, we were talking, he goes, there is no Tommy Bahama. There really is a Jimmy Buffett. And I kind of checked that one off and said, well done, John. Way to ding the competition.
When you were writing this book, did you ever, put on a Hawaiian shirt just to be in the frame of mind of the subject of your book?
I went through at least one pair of flip-flops while reporting this particular book, walking around New Orleans and Nashville and Key West, and I probably, if I had any one recommendation, it would be don't wear flip-flops through the French Quarter in New Orleans. It's really not the best idea.
Very good. Very good advice. The book is called A Good Life All the Way. Jimmy Buffett is the subject of it. Ryan White, our guest this morning, also author of Springsteen Album by Album. We appreciate your time this morning, and people can check it out and even see the picture in this book of this huge flip-flop and a giant pop art thing of a pop top, apparently in reference to the margarita tune as well.
Yeah, with a kind of an inspiration, an interesting inspirational inspiration story, backstory as to how it came to existence. It's all in there, including where the actual cheeseburger in paradise actually is.
Absolutely. So. We appreciate your time, Ryan. Thanks for sharing it with us.
Thank you, Bruce.
I blew out my flip flop, stepped on a pop top, cut my hair. Had to cruise on back home, but this booze.